May the 24th, 1954. The conduct of an auditor during auditing should be such conduct as will procure in the preclear an adequate release of what is troubling the preclear. All right, what's that conduct? I haven't given you the A number one, gee whizzer, my God, not that technique in this unit. We have been running a technique which we call a routine procedure. There is a technique. I've threatened to give it as late as unit seven, which comes as close to being the central button as one can get. But any technique can be ruined by an auditor. I want to make sure this unit, these auditors, know what they're doing while we turn them loose. What you've got now is more than Dianetics or Scientology or way back when has ever had. But there's more than this. But above all this is the administration of whatever you're administering. And in the absence of a good administration of a technique, you might as well sit there and say, blub, 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 blub. Not only is it not going to do your preclear any good, it'll probably do him harm. I can't be too didactic, pragmatic, or a priori concerning this. It happens to be an arbitrary which I am entering into the whole science of Scientology, and it's my fault. I'm cause of this whole thing. This has nothing to do with good auditing or anything of the sort. I'm just entering this in, and it's just mean of me to do that. But there is a way to conduct an auditing session so as to procure an optimum result by use of a technique. The technique will work if the auditing session is running. Now, as soon as I have talked to you about this, you will glance back over the past and recognize how many auditing sessions you know of or have conducted which weren't running. That nothing was really happening in the auditing session. We're going to go over this with considerable detail. It is an arbitrary. There's no doubt about that. It is a restriction on the auditor, and it's unfair. But when processing is administered with an eye to a proper auditor conduct, you get results with preclear. And when any technique, even technique Z, is administered with poor auditing, you don't get results. Well, you say it must have to do with a personality factor. Yep. Same kind of a personality factor as you find in an arithmetical formula. 2 + 2 = 4. We have shaken the bugs out of this. We know when a session is bad and when a session is good, and it isn't anybody's opinion on the matter. Certain things have occurred in a good session, and certain things have occurred in a bad session, which demark them. We have left the realm of art with regard to auditing. Art is wonderful stuff. I love art. He's been a good friend of mine for years. But the trouble is, with art, is we can always come in and hold our little pinky in a certain position when we're juggling a teacup and say that is artistic, but something else isn't, and we can get into an argument about it. Well, it isn't possible to argue today as to whether an auditor is a good auditor or a bad auditor. Isn't that a terrific arbitrary to enter into this business? To take out all the art there was, all the fine finesse, all the aplomb with which an auditor could put his heels on a desk while he audited and blow cigarette smoke in the preclear's face and trip over ashtrays and so on. Yeah, good old days are gone. I remember when the good old days left in the field of aviation. Pilots used to get into a plane in an old pair of slacks, preferably very greasy and preferably torn, a scuffed leather jacket, which had most of its buttons missing, and they didn't wear a beautiful helmet or anything of the sort. They wore an old cap, same kind the movie cameraman used to use. And they used to turn this cap around at some godforsaken angle and fly. And as the years went on, the airlines began to revolt against this proceeding because it didn't seem to them that the cap had anything to do with whether the plane or the mail came in safely. And so they put all of the pilots in uniform. Now, you would have thought on that day that they'd also ordered them to be shot. The revolt involved in it was horrific. The good old days were dead, they said. But the funny part of it is the number of accidents decreased and pride in self increased. And what happened was the airlines were trying to get in airplanes, you know, trying to get them off of a field and land them on another field. And the orderliness which the uniform symbolized helped do that. Well, Art had departed from aviation, and for maybe many years, people were unhappy about this, but aviation got there. Now, I don't say the Nauditor is in the same category, because he is still somebody whose wits are uniformly hammered around by a pre-clear. He's somebody who needs to be on the ball and so forth. But there is a certain, you might say, uniform in an auditing session, which is a good one, which is absent in a bad one. You can tell when the pre-clear walks out of the auditing session whether the auditor wore a uniform or didn't. Just that. It's an arbitrary. And the arbitrary is this. ARC. Two-way communication, present time problem. An understanding of communication lags. And finding out what the hell a pre-clear is doing. And you've said it. I mean, actually, that's all there is to it. You would be amazed how hard it is to get something like this rolling. Now, I could tell you 80,000 ways to do it wrong, but instead of that, let's just talk about how to do it right. First place, we have to look over the kind of condition your pre-clear is in. And when you first start an auditing session on the normal pre-clear, you will discover without much difficulty that this individual will go into apathy if he discovers himself taking orders, particularly if the orders are a little bit wrong or messed up in some way. If he just discovers that he is taking orders, you see, it starts him upgrade into apathy. That's right. Now recognize this is an upgrade. So you slip a little bit in giving him orders, or you aren't quite distinct in what you want to do, something of the sort. Something slides a little bit. He thinks. He goes into apathy. All right. That was one session. And at the end of that session, he wasn't in as solid an apathy as he was in before. Now we had him in on another session, and we discover that when we are thought to, as a pre-clear, make a little bit of mistake, he doesn't go into apathy in this session. We say the first session was run right, you see, and did get him up tone scale. He doesn't go into apathy on this session. He gets mad. He squirms around, and he complains, and he finds fault quite overtly with the auditor. And as an auditor, you just don't know what you're doing if you think this is something that has to do with the auditor. It doesn't have a thing to do with the auditor. It has a lot to do with the state of the case and processing. And as an auditor, you say, aha, we're getting there. Now, if you don't recognize, one, this apathy, and now this disobedience, as rather inevitable in the progress of the case, you're not going to have any measure at all of what you're doing. And you're going to think that what he is saying has something to do with you, or has something to do with your auditing. So you're liable to change your auditing style, or shift over, or try to be better to him, or something of the sort. No, what's going on here? All that's going on is the first few sessions, or the first session, you're liable to have a pre-clear go into apathy every time he thinks you make a mistake, and he is so willing to think you make a mistake that it's pathetic. And the next session, or the next few sessions, or series of sections, he gets angry every time he thinks you make a mistake. And he's progressing. And now, let's say he gets up to a point where he just downright sits down and hates the devil out of you. when he thinks you've miscommunicated something or given him something too hard to do or something of that sort. See? We're still going upscale. And then he starts, let's say, another series of sessions, one session or more, and this fellow goes out on an overt antagonism as far as you're concerned. As far as you're concerned, personally. Well, look it over. He's come up the scale again, and the next time, or the next series, why, you find a pretty clear who really can't be interested in his case. He wants to go out and play golf, or he wants to do something of the sort. He's not very interested in his case. Well, you just have him won, that's all. If you think you are responsible for his state of mind, you're not responsible for his state of mind beyond the fact that you are auditing. His state of mind comes about through your use of Scientology. And if you've used it properly, those are the consecutive states of mind he's more or less going to go through before you've got him out of the woods. And each time you as an auditor have to bear down one way or the other or square him around in such a way as not to drop him off of this new tone level he's assumed, but to keep him coming, which is to say, just keep auditing. Let's go on auditing, in other words. What's the reaction of the pre-clear? Okay, let's go on auditing. Okay, so that's the pre-clear's reaction. Well, let's go on auditing him. Now, an auditor who doesn't understand that will suddenly turn sideways in the middle of the session and decide to have an argument with the pre-clear. Or he will decide that he had better run some other kind of a process, or he's obviously doing the pre-clear no good because the pre-clear's tone is changing. Well, if an auditor's arguing with the fact that he's changing a pre-clear's tone, then the auditor's arguing with the fact he's getting results, and so the auditor is not going to get results. That's that. An auditor who is worried about the reaction of the pre-clear to him isn't going to get results, because if he's auditing at all decently, the reaction of the pre-clear is going to change right on up the scale. An auditor who's afraid of human emotion has no business auditing. Here is a little more solid look at it. One time walked into the foundation. I used to drop down once in a while and see how they were doing in the processing department. Go over a few pre-clears, something of the sort. And I found that somebody had brought his wife in, who was psychotic, on Monday morning. And this was Monday afternoon. I usually dropped in to find out how they were getting along with their pre-clears on Monday afternoon. Monday afternoon, why, she had, the wife had left for home with the husband because nothing could be done with the case. The case was audited for a couple of hours or 3 hours or something like that, and the auditor just did best she could, you know, and did everything she's supposed to do, and then they went home. So I said, what's this all about? This woman was merely suffering from a mild postpartum psychosis. What happened here? Well, what happened there was answered in just about 2 seconds max. I asked her, did you ever know a psychotic woman similar to the one who has just left? The auditor all of a sudden went into a fear charge and started trembling and went into a mild state of collapse. This auditor, unbeknownst to us up to this moment, had worked in a sanitarium and had been attacked and almost beaten to death by a woman who was exactly a counterpart of this woman that had just come in to be audited. Now, you tell me that Dianetics at that moment was falling on its face? No, it wasn't. But that auditor was so afraid of the counter-emotion and the psychosis in that pre-clear that the auditor couldn't rest before she got him out of there and on their way home, regardless of any kind of a pretext that could be made. Let's get rid of this. Well, now that is a violent extreme, isn't it? A violent condition. We actually, in a relatively short space of time, audited this auditor up to a point where she could handle a psychotic. Well, how'd we do it? Well, we ran out a lot of the locks that had to do with her handling psychotics previously. All right, what really is the difference, though, between an auditor getting upset, between this as an extreme, and an auditor getting upset because the pre-clear's tone does not remain stable, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent, huh? Now, if an auditor expects this human being to be well-controlled and well-ordered while undergoing processing, The auditor is simply expecting that the control mechanisms of the society will continue on into the auditing session. And also, he doesn't quite realize that that would mean that the state of case and the chronic tone level of the preclear would continue too, despite auditing. Now, it must be an awful task trying to keep preclear in the same tone level and yet use the processes we have today on him. That must be a very difficult thing. And I'm sure that that is the major difficulty that a relatively untrained auditor has in processing preclears. You know, try to keep them quiet and orderly and calm, and yet use these processes on them that blow things to glory. Now, what is the normal auditing session? What is the normal conduct of an auditing session? It isn't violent, but it could get so. Or it isn't apathetic, or it could get so. It's only when an auditor really takes his finger off his number a little bit and makes one of these inevitable human slips on a preclear that the preclear tips over. But it's inevitable that that will occur. So just stop straining at the perfection of auditing command, because you've got two people here who are in communication, and sooner or later you maybe didn't get your breakfast completely that morning, or you're human too, see? And it's just inevitable sooner or later why you're going to give him a miscommand or give him two things that to do before he's completed one or something, a rare thing, but you're going to do something wrong. And if you're obviously working, if you're working on some preclear who's very tippy, you know, you just got him up to the point now where he'll tip off into apathy, you do this, bing, he goes right on off into apathy. Well, you're only really short-sighted. To hell with whether or not you make a mistake once in a while. Anybody can make a mistake. Devil with it. So you make a mistake. The main point is let's not let this deterioration of the case, which immediately takes place, just as though you've suddenly blown a bomb off or something of the sort, you know, let's not let that become the schedule of auditing thereafter. You know, let's not go in an immediate argument with the preclear saying, well, no, I really didn't say that to you. Really, you don't have any business talking back that way, and so on and so on and so on. I've actually heard auditors argue. I mean, this is not pleasant of me to say this, because it's not polite on my part to run people down like this, but I have actually heard auditors argue violently with preclears who were about three-quarters anatten. Auditor says, let's go over that again. A couple of more times. No, I don't care whether you do it or not. And the preclear says, what are you trying to do? Louse me up? Yak, 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 yak. And the auditor says, well, no, I'm not trying to louse you up. Here I am sitting here trying to do this. What's your idea talking to me like that? The auditor has the advantage. He's taken over the control of the situation at the beginning of the session. Therefore, whatever enters into the session, he really enters it into the session. Now, what would you do in a case like this? You would simply say, all right, go over it again. You find out the guy will simmer right off. But his actual tone level during the session is lying under a veneer so thin that if a car were to backfire in the street, or a cat were to yow suddenly out in the yard or something of the sort, it'll tip him right up through that veneer, and he's showing his actual tone. He will either go into apathy, or he will experience grief, or he will demonstrate fear, or he will get angry, or he will get antagonistic, or he will get bored. If he's up to enthusiasm on a stuck basis, why, of course, he'd get enthusiastic about the cat meowing. Now, what kind of a spiritual engineer are you anyway, if you are so unacquainted with human reaction that you don't recognize it when it takes place, even though you, through your use of the science of Scientology, have caused it to take place? You caused it to take place, now you object to it. Whatever your pre-cleared does, you can swing him around in some other direction. But the moment you elect him for your randomity, you just shoot the session to pieces. Now let's see a few of these manifestations that are pre-clear pulls. Two-way communication. You say, how are you? Silence. What are we going to get into today? You say, silence. What do you want to run today? Silence. What problems have you been having lately? Silence. You ever run one like that? What's your first duty? To run something on him? No, because you're staring right in the teeth. The first thing to be run on him. Get a two-way communication going. At least get him to say hello. If you can get him to say hello, you've processed him. Now, this is quite remarkable that an auditor would overlook this, but they do. They want to get down to auditing. There's your auditing staring you in the face right there. This guy's a complete collapse on the third dynamic. He can't put out any communication line. Now, the funny part of these people is as you continue to talk to them, they gradually come up merely because they're being communicated to. If they're being communicated to gently, they will eventually respond. But where did you get the idea that all communication consisted of words? Where'd you get the idea? I didn't just give it to you. This is a highly artificial method of communication, talking. Very, very civilized. If you think talking applies to all of existence, why, go out and have a conversation with a cat sometime. Oh, of course, I know you know cats that talk. But most of them don't. And yet you can communicate with a cat. How would you get a cat to communicating? Same way you'd get a 1-year-old child communicating. You can get them to communicating. Communication, in essence, is cause-distance effect. So you make them cross a distance with something, and they've communicated. So your two-way communication is on a sub-verbal level. If you treat this pre-clear as anything else than a cat, you're being silly. You expect this person to talk. Well, this person isn't at a level where they can talk. And yet you can start a two-way communication with them. When a person won't answer you, well, you say, all right, let's audit cats. That's all. There's no reason to strain your brain any further, get them to talk. Maybe they've lost the English language. Who knows what's happened to them? Who cares? Let's just get them to communicate. When did language get to be this important? Well, how do you get them to communicate? You hand them a cigarette and make them reach for it. That's one thing. You hand them a pencil and a piece of paper as though they were going to write something. That's fine. That they'll take it. That's a gesture toward communication. Any gesture toward communication is that. If they will duplicate a movement, that's communication. And if you can get them to move their body someplace in the room, you've licked it. They sit down on the chair, and you get them to move over to the couch. But you got them to move to the bottom of the couch. Now you've decided they're going to move into the center of the couch and sit there. And if this person, in the course of human existence and auditing and so forth, will talk to you after you've done this for a little while. Simple. It's real simple. Get them to put out something. Get them to change something in space. And that's communication. So why be balked at this one? That's just your session starting. Now we find out that this person sounds a little bit morose and they don't seem to get much interested in what you're talking about. We might get some kind of a two-way communication going, or we might not, on the subject of life, present time problem, anything of that character. Well, we've got them communicating. We've got them changing something in space. I handed the pre-clear one time a deck of cards and made him move the deck of cards from one corner of the desk to the other corner of the desk just by doing it a couple of times myself. He wouldn't talk. I just handed him the card. I did it 2 or 3 times, moved the cards from this side of the desk over to this side of the desk, over to this side of the desk, and handed him the cards, and he did it. Now, I dealt the cards, shuffled them up, handed them him. He dealt the cards. That guy never said a word to me during the first hour or more of processing. But that night he told somebody who was quite concerned with him and so forth that I was the nicest fella he'd met in a long time. No communication there, was there? First person that had communicated to him for ages and ages. He had sunk below the level of speech. He couldn't express himself anymore. He felt there was nothing to express. Well, two-way communication. Now, you can communicate, and the free clear can communicate. Well, what do you know? Time after time, session after session, you drop pre-clears with these techniques to a lower level than that on communication lags. Only you just don't notice it. You just don't notice it. It's just not something you remark immediately because you'll come right on through and out of it. But you push people down into that level. Now, supposing you started to fight with them when you had them down at that level, huh? Fight with them because they wouldn't talk to you or something of the sort while they're running the communication lag. You hang them up there for 2 or 3 days. You can make a real sick person out of them if you wanted to. Now, where can we really err in processing this case? It's not in not knowing and in not in ourselves being able to follow the most basic fundamentals concerning communication in an auditing session. And that's where we can err, and that's the only place we can err. You can run any kind of a technique on them without any error, without lousing them up particularly, but if you as the auditor sitting right there in the immediate present, you are Scientology at that moment. Scientology isn't on the other side of the nation or in my head or parked on the other side of Arcturus. You are Scientology at that moment. It is what you make it at that moment. And you just go ahead and audit. You'll get results. But remember, auditing is basically a communication problem. And if it's a communication problem, then you certainly better know the various ways that communications can get unhinged, go backwards, be twisted around, and be upset, and so forth, because you're looking right straight at the pre-clear who is dramatizing the very woof and warp of a science you know. And this pre-clear will sit right there, and he'll carry this science right out to the letter. He doesn't know a thing about it. He will do it predictably every time. And if you don't know what he's going to do, and if you consider this personal, or if you consider this some strange manifestation, if you don't know what he's going to do there and why he's doing it, so forth, you can foul him up. And you can foul him up badly just by making a complete miscue on the subject. All right, we'll go into that a little bit more in the next lecture.